good to see everybody. Happy Father's Day. Yeah. Well, we're gonna be continuing our time now in Psalm 51. We're gonna finish out the last half, and I like to start us off with a video. And Ethan, if you would cue that up for us. Last week we started the first 9 verses of Psalm 51, and we talked about repentance and the cleansing that can come from it. We talked about recognizing the difference between repentance and remorse. So if you weren't here last week, we have those things. You can talk to the office, or I believe you can look on the website to kind of get refreshed on that. If you're saying, what does he mean by the difference between repentance and remorse? We talked how to repent properly and completely. We talked about repenting and letting God cleanse our inner being. And the words for sin appear 12 times in that first half of this psalm. And God's name only appears once. But now that we go to the second half of that psalm, the word for sin is only 2 times in that half. And God's name is 6 times mentioned. And it's not an accident, but the words for God appearing in the second half and sin diminishing, it gives us this idea that the second half of the psalm, after repentance, gives way to God and His presence and His removing of that sin. So today we're going to be looking at the second half and this idea of what happens after repentance. And if I were to summarize this thought, I would do it this way. Repent and experience God's renewal. Repent and experience God's renewal. And our illustrious Wilma Phelps is going to come up, and she's going to read the second half of this psalm for us today. Do you want to just hold it, or do you like to stand?
It doesn't matter, whatever you want me to
okay.
do.
Okay, I can get that close. That work?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem, then will you delight in right sacrifices and burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar.
Amen. Thank you, Wilma. So as we dig into this idea of renewal, it happens in 3 places. And it's easy to remember. It happens first inside us, in our inner life, And then the renewal will happen in our outer life. And then it's going to happen in our community. And this psalm shows that. So first, let's dig into this. Repent and experience God's renewal in your inner life. And if you're following along in your Bible, verses 10 through 12 shows us this, if you'll look with me. And we talked last week about the complete and proper repentance. And does anybody remember the four steps? Quiz time. Yes. See? Confess, mourn, and hate. Yes, okay. I look like I was just at Ethan and Talia and Abby were at the Christian Youth in Action, and they just graduated from that at Cedarville. But often we talk about sin, anything that breaks God's rules or makes him sad, you know, anything we hear, say, or do. So I'm getting that here, you know. See, say, mourn, cast away, right? So those are the four things we talked about. And the reason I'm reviewing this is that many of us have inherited or invented dysfunctional ways of repentance. Or we just avoid repentance altogether. And actually, there may be some people you know who never, ever say they're sorry. Or if they do, it's not a complete sorry. And maybe you and I are one of those people, right? Why is this situation of incomplete or no repentance such an issue? Well, if we go back to those four steps, we see why. If we don't see our sin, we never repent of it. If we don't confess or take responsibility for our sin, it never gets dealt with. And if we don't mourn our sin, we don't move on, and that doesn't lead us to hating it. So it really boils down to, in this whole idea of repentance, it's our view of God. If I view God as he is going to judge, he is going to punish me rather than help me out of my sin, then repentance becomes something you avoid, you run away from, you don't want to admit, because if you admit it, you're guilty and punished. But if we view God as, remember at the beginning of the psalm, what did David say? Look back with me at verse 1 because it informs the rest of it. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. And I talked about that last week. So if we view God as, remember we talked in Ruth, chesed, loving faithfulness in a covenant relationship. And that covenant, if we look back in Genesis with Abraham, it was a one-way covenant because he knew Abraham could not keep it. He was the one that walked through the carcasses, like down the middle here, there was those animals. I was thinking, imagine doing that object lesson. I'd probably get called by some agency of cruelty to animals. Parents would run away because I grossed out their kids, right? All these animals cut in half, you know. It was a graphic illustration of what would happen if they didn't keep the covenant, and God was the one that walked through the center of that. Abraham fell asleep. He kept Abraham from walking through it because he knew Abraham would not keep it. And he knew we could not keep it. And so if we view God as this God who is a covenant God, faithful, loyal, compassionate. We talked about compassionate last week. The idea of like a womb love, a mother love, protecting. He wants us to recover. He wants to be the remedy. Then repentance becomes something beautiful, not something scary. Actually, not repenting is the scarier option, right? And continuing in our sin. He wants to bring the solution. We see here in this psalm that God is actually the one doing all the work. David repents, but who is it that cleanses him? Who is it that restores him? Who is it that makes him right again? Who is it? It's God. God's the one. Does anybody remember the game Minesweeper? You remember that? I'm hearkening back to the old days. It was on every Windows computer, sort of like Solitaire. I liked Minesweeper better because it's a fast game because I usually hit a bomb the first two clicks. I'm not going to tell you. If you don't know what it is, you can look it up on Wikipedia. You can maybe find it. I don't know if they still have it on computers. Is it still on there?
Yes, you can find it.
Now, I hope you're not playing it the rest of the sermon now. Don't be looking that up. Okay, but with Minesweeper, it's a game where you try not to click on one of the mines, or you get that frowny face, and it says you're done. It shows all the mines. And if you clicked on a space where there's no mines, it shows a number. And so it's one of those logic games. So if you like Sudoku or other things, it does involve your brain a little bit, thinking and logic. And it can be quite addictive. But repenting is like Minesweeper for the soul. When you and I regularly repent and lift up our sin before God, it sweeps our soul for those mines that will take us out. All right, this is the inner life stuff. And another analogy I'm thinking of is a garden. Anybody plant a garden this year? We got the next slide. Ethan's awake. Okay, there we go. My daughter Talia has been wanting to do a garden, and I won't embarrass you, Tal. But so we just didn't want to dig out a big portion of our yard, you know. And so I said, well, let's do planters. Okay, we'll do a raised bed garden, but without the raised bed. I'll just get you some pots and planters. And we grew the plants just recently in those little seed trays. We're probably a few weeks behind. If I was to ask Judy Nichols, she'd be like, oh, you're quite late on that, Eric. But thankfully, summer is long, and so I'm hoping we will see a harvest sometime around November. But we just planted those there, and anyone that does gardening, you know that what likes to grow around these wonderful plants that you put in the garden? Weeds! And I am the first to say I'm not the best at getting to those when they're small. It's so easy when they're small. It's kind of a pain because there's a million of them, but they just go boop. You can pull them out, right? You let them go, like if you were to go to my backyard right now, it's not the best. There's these thistles that are growing up, and once they grow, they get hard to get out. Especially when they grow between those bricks and your patio and stuff, they do a lot of wreckage. And regular repentance is like that regular weeding. Often, we have this view of repentance like it's the altar call. I respond maybe once in my life and it's all done. But what this psalm is talking about is this regular repentance. And actually, this psalm was used in many ancient Christianity. They would start the day and end the day with Psalm 51. It was the Psalm of Vespers. You know, it was a daily thing. And when we are living in that daily examination, think of Psalm 119. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I want to pull these things out when they're small. I want to deal with them regularly, keep short accounts with you. And the reason David got into what he got into with Bathsheba is he was not doing that regularly. He had let that go. And when we don't do that regularly in our life, we will have those minds that blow us up. Now, you might be in that mode. You're like, well, I don't have anything right now. Well, I encourage you to do the regular weeding. Maybe you've already blown up. Well, there's hope for us when we blow up in this psalm, because this is the psalm David is also saying after some of the worst. He had broken about 5 of the 10 commandments here. His life was blown up, and there is still hope for him. So whether your life is blown up, or you're looking around saying, there's a lot of weeds I need to deal with, or you're saying, they're pretty clear, this psalm is a call to all of us, whatever situation you're in today, that this repentance, regular repentance and full repentance, brings renewal in our inner being. It's refreshing. It's not a burden. It's not something we should run away from. It's actually like that, like the gardener. It's taking care of our garden so that good things will grow and we will be refreshed. Maybe you're in that category, you know, like I talked about, is one who hasn't dealt with sin, and if you've seen that movie or the play Little Shop of Horrors, maybe your weeds have gotten into this carnivorous plant that's devouring everything. But this psalm has a remedy for you, and so we're going to move on into this. One thing I noticed as I was looking at the commentaries, and I want you to think of this psalm in this way. The verbs, often we think of them as imperative. Create, renew. So he's like commanding God. But they're actually saying these are imperfect verbs. So grammarians, it's the idea that because of God's covenant love, because I have confessed my sins, God will create, he will renew, He will restore. Imagine, let's read that in that mindset, because it often doesn't translate that way. Even when we write the imperative, we might think it's if we write in imperfect, we may think it's an imperative. So let me read it with this change of emphasis. Because often when we come and repent, we're like, God, will you create? Will you renew? It's like a doubtful, I hope, but maybe you won't. But if he is a covenant God, faithful, wanting to bring the remedy, I don't repent and hope. I repent and know. So look, let's read it in this idea. You will create in me a clean heart, O God. You will renew a right spirit in me. You will not cast me away from your presence and will not take your Holy Spirit from me. You will restore me to the joy of your salvation, and you will uphold me. And this idea, we often think it's my willing spirit, but with your willing spirit. He is willing to do this. He is eager to bring the remedy to you. He's not a father saying, you blew it again, son. You blew it again. Maybe I'll forgive you this time if you're especially remorseful. No. Have you ever read it that way? I thought that was interesting. It kind of was like, wow. And rather than, I hope you will create in me a clean heart. I hope you will renew a right spirit in me. It's, you will do this. Do you confess your sins and repent, knowing that that is the truth? Because that affects everything. If I'm hoping he will, I run across other people from other religions, especially Muslims. I'll say, do you know you're going to heaven? I hope I will. Who knows? Christianity is not a I hope so. It's a I know so. Because it's not dependent on me. Who is it that cleanses David? God. David repents, but God cleanses. God's the one that, it reminds me of 1 John 1:9. If you and I confess our sins, he is faithful and just, hesed, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's wonderful news, isn't it? So, repentance will cleanse our inner lives. I would say regular repentance. So get into this mode of maybe each day saying, hey, God, how'd it go today, Dad? Daddy, Abba Father. And he may say, I see some areas here we got to deal with, but I'm here to help you. I'm the comforter. I'm the helper. Let's tackle these things rather than running away from them. So second, not only does renewal happen in the inner life, second, it happens in the outer life. Repent and experience God's renewal in your outer life. Verses 13 through 17, look with me at those. So after these things, then he says, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you do not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart you will not despise. David speaks of three things here, if I were to summarize it. First, their ministry, praise, and humility. So when we live a life of regular repentance, it will renew our outer life in these three ways, according to this psalm. Ministry, I will desire, it says, I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. When you and I repent and turn away from our sins, and God cleanses us, and God forgives us, and God restores us, we will have an outward change of wanting to see this for others. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but has anyone in here blown it? And maybe not in a small way, like huge ways maybe. I know the little hands are a little lower. Yeah. When you've blown it and you've felt someone forgive you, you felt God's forgiveness, is that not like the hugest weight coming off to genuinely be forgiven and have relationship restored and to have what you've done covered over or removed? That's like one of the best feelings in life. And so when you and I have had that happen in our inner being, we're going to want others to experience that. It's going to result in ministry. And often, the biggest ministry you and I will have is in the areas where we failed the greatest. Look through history. I think of over and over, people that have been addicts often help out then in a recovery program, right? They've recovered. They want to help others recover. It becomes a ministry for them. So one of the ways our outward life will be renewed by repentance is it will motivate in us ministry. Because when you and I have realized how much we've been set free from, and maybe it's not going to be your job or vocation, but you will desire to see others set free. You will desire them to experience the same grace that you've experienced. Second thing, it results in praise. We see that listed twice there. David says in verse 14 and 15, what he's talking about here is, deliver me from blood guiltiness. Do you know what? He had Uriah murdered, and there was no thing in the old covenant. There's no way to be forgiven murder. And actually, blood was required. So he's saying, I deserve the death penalty. Deliver me from this. And God did. The only day that would happen was on the Day of Atonement. There was no sacrifice except the Day of Atonement. What I find is interesting is the Day of Atonement really points to Christ. So he's the only one that could cover even these serious, quote, death sins, in a sense. So imagine if you knew you deserved the death penalty and you have been given a reprieve. Would that make you rejoice? I think Jerry here goes into the prison. You see lots of people that have to pay the consequences for their breaking of the law. And imagine, I just heard recently of a certain, the president can write a pardon, and there was some lady that had been in prison for 20 years, and he pardoned her. Imagine if you received a pardon. You knew you had the rest of your life in prison, and you receive a pardon, and you're set free. Would that make you excited? Yeah. So when we realize how severe our sin is, you may say, well, I've never murdered anybody. I've never done this. I've never done that. When you and I see how serious, even the small sins are in our life, that God has forgiven, it results in outward praise and thanksgiving. I don't know about you, but when I meet someone who lives like this in an attitude of praise and thanksgiving, they're fun to be around, aren't they? They're not out to tear you down. They're not out to crush you. They're just like a bubbling fountain. Is that their picture of that there? Oh, that was the next part. Okay. So you can go backwards. Sorry, I put that in the wrong spot. So the third thing that results in the outer life from the inner life being renewed, and the outer life is renewed, is humility. Humility. David, in the end of this, in verse 16 and 17, he talks about, if there was something I could do for you, God, I would do it. But what you ask for is a broken spirit, a humble and a contrite heart. Let's read this. It says, for you do not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with the burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart you will not despise. He says, God is most pleased with a broken and a contrite spirit and heart. And this is the result of true repentance. When you and I realize how much we've been forgiven, how much we've grieved the Spirit of God in our sin, that there's no small sin. It's all saying, and we talked about this last week, how sin is ultimately saying, God, you're not enough. Something else is. We're basically throwing it in the face of God. When we realize that, it brings a humility. It humbles us into the dust, but it exalts us to the heights, because you realize he's the one who saved me. I am not the one who saves me. I'm not the one that cleanses me. So, brothers and sisters, those of you here today, if you struggle with a proud spirit, may I suggest that you do not repent enough. Because a proud spirit is a sure sign of a lack of repentance in one's life, of this regular discipline of repentance. Because when you and I will face our sin, we'll face who we really are apart from Christ, it humbles us. It leads to a humility of life that others can see. And this, and a lot of times we have a false sense of humility. Humility is not denying your strengths. It's not denying what you're good at. It's seeing who you really are. That you aren't God, and He is. He's giving you gifts, but you also have brokenness. And it's coming to grips with this weird contradiction that we all are. We're amazingly gifted, yet amazingly dysfunctional and broken, in need of a Savior. And He's transforming us, but we're a work in progress. Finally, it results not only in the inner life being renewed, the outer life changing, but the community changing. And it's like a repentant experience, number three, God's renewal in your community. And that's the bubbling spring. Verses 18 and 19 seem like oddly put. All right, this is a whole psalm of repentance, and suddenly he says, do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in right sacrifices and burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. What, wasn't he just saying God didn't want this? What is this tacked on to this psalm? Some might suggest this was added after the exile. But others say, no, this is part of the original psalm. And what it's saying is that David as the king, when things were right with him, it affected all of Zion. That when one person repents, it affects the community. And I want to remember from some time back, I remember Judy came up here and shared testimony some time ago. She talked about repentance and how revival and how we want revival. And she said, draw a circle. I remember you shared this. I don't know if you said, I heard it from someone else or whatever, but you said, stand in that circle and let revival start in that circle with me, and it will go outward. Oftentimes, we think, oh, the world's so bad, oh, my family's so bad, my job's so bad, all these things, and all we do is complain about it. But what this is saying is, let repentance start with me, let that renewal start inside of me on my outside, and it will, like a spring of water, we'll go to that next picture, the bubbly spring, it will bubble out of us and get everyone else wet. It will start with you, and then it will start affecting your family, and it may start affecting your work. And we talk a lot here about spheres of influence. It will, like water, spread through all of those. It will bring renewal to the community. So David ends this psalm saying that after all his repentance and the renewal of God has happened in his life, the whole kingdom would experience the effects of that. So in conclusion, we're going to play, in a second, we're going to play a song. And I want to focus on one more aspect of this change. Often you and I can try to make this happen by our own effort. We see in the psalm that it is God who changes us, and it is by His Holy Spirit. So in verses 10 through 12, it says that it's God's willing spirit that creates a clean heart. It's God's willing spirit that renews a right spirit in us. It's God's willing spirit that doesn't cast us away from His presence. It's God's Holy Spirit that restores the joy of His salvation in us. And it's God's Holy Spirit that upholds us in an ongoing way. And so I would like for us to be just in a mindful time, spend some time in reflection, say, like Psalm 119 says, oh Lord, search me and know my heart. See if there's any weeds. Oh, I know that weed. Well, okay, let's deal with that. But do as a good gardener, check over my life, bring to my attention weeds that need attention. They need to be lifted up to you. And so we're going to close with this song, Spirit Move. So if we could get the lights in, Ethan, if you could cue that up.
To the dust on the ground, and sometimes you are a challenge.
Lord, we thank you that you desire to bring healing. You desire to restore us. We pray that we can regularly come to you, see the areas that you want to point out, that we would confess those, that we would mourn those, and that we would begin to hate that sin in our lives enough to leave it. And Lord, we just lift up the time here in Circle Church. I pray that you would allow us to be vulnerable and open and encouraging with one another. In Jesus' name, amen.